Welcome back to Beyond the Uniform. I'm Justin Asiri, and my goal is to challenge and support military veterans to reach their peak potential in their civilian career. Joining me today for episode number 267 is Anna Kristen from Hiring Our Heroes.
When I first transitioned, I did it terribly. So I was applying to any and every job. And then the second time around, I realized you really need to focus and find, five or 10 companies, five or 10 jobs that would really, meet with your passions, whatever you're trying to do after that transition.
Anna helps run the military spouse program at Hiring Our Heroes. In this interview, we talk about lessons for veterans and their spouses that Hiring Our Heroes has learned from over 1,000 career summits that they've conducted. We talk about a corporate fellowship program that every single veteran and their family member should know about. We talk about a whole host of resources, all available in the show notes at beyondtheuniform.org, that are relevant to any military veteran. Note that most of this episode is about Hiring Our Heroes, but at the end, we do talk a little bit about nonprofits and why this route may appeal to veterans. Special thanks on iTunes and Apple Podcasts to The Pearl. The Pearl username a long time ago, back in December of 2016, wrote, "Great show and so needed. Thank you, Justin, for putting together such a great show for veterans. Just listen to episode number 76 with Liz McLean. She gave such good practical insight for veterans. Awesome show. Keep up the good work." Thank you. And to all of you who've left some reviews on iTunes, pretty wild to think that's nearly 200 episodes ago. And the show's come a long way. And special thanks to all the team members who are supporting this, and also for you as listeners for keeping this going. So with that, let's dive into my conversation with Anna. Joining me today in Kingsville, Texas, my guest is Anna Kristen. Anna, welcome to Beyond the Uniform.
Thanks for having me today, Justin. Excited to be here.
So for listeners, I wanted to give a quick background. Anna is the Deputy Director, Military Spouse Program at Hiring Our Heroes. Hiring Our Heroes, for those who don't know, is a nationwide initiative of the U.S. Chamber of Commerce Foundation to help veterans, transitioning service members, and military spouses find meaningful employment. She started out at West Point, after which she served in the Army for 5 years as a human resources officer, and she's currently still serving in the reserves. She's in the process of obtaining her MBA at the University of Virginia's Darden School of Business. So Anna, maybe to set the stage and to start things off, you transitioned from the Army into financial planning. Could you talk us through kind of what that transition was like from active duty into a civilian career, and what that job search and first process of obtaining your first job looked like?
Sure. So I was in San Antonio, which is Military City, USA. Lots of job opportunities there. But I knew I was moving down to actually where I am right now, to Kingsville, Texas, to be with my husband, who is in the Navy. And I started that transition process probably about a year and a half out. I knew that far ahead that I was pretty sure I was going to transition. Wasn't sure if it would be to the reserves or a complete break, but about a year and a half out, I started going to, there's a job fair called the Service Academy Career Conference. And I went to that in San Antonio, and it was, if you've never been to a job fair and you're thinking about transitioning, for me, it was kind of awkward, so it was great to go that far ahead of the actual transition point, just to get those jitters out of the way early and to practice kind of your elevator pitch and selling yourself, which is something that I think a lot of us in the military tend not to do. So I went to that and made some good contacts, and then I went the following year and learned quickly that it's hard for companies if you are geographically dependent or not able to move kind of wherever you want. And so I had a difficult time at those job fairs because I did want to go to a certain location. And ended up having to wait until I got to Kingsville, and finance was not my first job. I actually worked at a local university for a few months before we got orders to Virginia Beach, and finding that first job, man, it was difficult. I was applying to any job opening that seemed to fit with something that I was looking for in HR or project management, something that, aligned with the skill sets that I had learned in the military. And it was difficult. It was a long time coming. I think it took about 5 or 6 months before I got that first job. And then we ended up moving 3 months into that first civilian job. I transitioned to the finance sector when we got to Virginia Beach. And the nice thing about being a military spouse and making multiple transitions is that you get to hone those transition skills. So instead of making just one transition, I've made a few. And in that second one in Virginia, I really focused in on utilizing, the networking better, and whether that was through LinkedIn or alumni networks, and found that job at First Command, which was, it still took a few months. I think it took about 4 months while I was there looking for some kind of employment, and then I landed in the financial industry.
That's great. And for listeners, I'll just point out, I think that, first of all, 1.5 years in advance starting to think about the transition is great. It seems like that's better than most of the people I talk with. Sometimes people just kind of a few months before separation start to think about it. The Service Academy Career Conference that you mentioned, I'll put a link in that in the show notes for this episode. But I know that a lot of people have mentioned the SACC has been a really great way to get a quick look of options out there, meet with a lot of people really efficiently, and get practice giving your elevator pitch of who you are and what you're looking for. And then the third thing, and I'd love to dig into this a little bit more, is you talked about utilizing alumni networks, and it took about 4 months to find that job with First Command. But I'm wondering, for someone who maybe is on active duty and has never done something like networking, could you describe your process or what you were doing when you talked about using alumni networks to kind of figure out that first job? Or that next job?
Yeah, I think that's a great thing to hit on. When I first transitioned, I did it terribly. So I was applying to any and every job. And then the second time around, I realized you really need to focus and find, 5 or 10 companies, 5 or 10 jobs that would really, meet with your passions, whatever you're trying to do after that transition. And so I leveraged LinkedIn's resources, which, if you don't have a profile, I definitely need to get one of those. And then I started asking for informational interviews with people that were local to the area. And for me, my husband was a Naval Academy grad, so I had to tap into that alumni network through my own college's alumni network. So the West Point Alumni Association connected me with his school's alumni association, and people I found are so willing to help. It's kind of amazing. If you just know what kind of help you are looking for, they will go out of their way to meet you for coffee for 20 minutes, let you pick their brains, or set up those informational interviews where you can not necessarily find a job, but learn more about the opportunities in that area, because they might not have something to offer you at that point, but you are building your own connections and networks, and that was so much better and more efficient of a way to do the job search than what I initially did.
Sorry, I was on mute there. Yeah, that's great. I think that I think it's important for people to remember that too, that that matches my experience, and I think so many guests I've had on the show, to know that the people on the other end of outreach, they want to help you. They want to sit down with you. They want to grab coffee. They want to find a way to get you where you want to go. And so what I love about what you're saying, Anna, is the approaching that, how to get in front of these people, how to get a hold of them. And once you do that, know that they are willing to help. I know it could be sometimes intimidating to just kind of reach out of the blue to someone you may not know, but you have that shared heritage of where you went to school or things like that. So I think that's really awesome. And what led you ultimately to the Chamber of Commerce and hiring our heroes?
So I think the short answer is volunteering and networking again. I had in Virginia Beach again come across this awesome organization. It was called In Gear Career, and it was started by three amazing women with the focus of connecting career-minded military spouses with meaningful career opportunities. And so they had a network out in Virginia Beach that was actually run by the program director. So I was lucky enough to be in one of the spots where there was a full-time employee. And so I began going to those networking meetings and learning more about the military spouse community, all the challenge that they face. When we moved to Texas, there wasn't a network of In-Gear Career. And at that point, it had just transitioned to a program under Hiring Our Heroes Military Spouse Program. And so that program, In-Gear Career, is now called the Military Spouse Professional Network. And I reached back out to them and said, hey, you know, this is a pretty remote location. There are a lot of spouses who are looking for a job. Is there any way that we can start a network down here? And luckily, they were very receptive to that idea. And two other military spouses down here in the Corpus Christi area and myself, we started a network. And through that volunteer role, I reconnected with the senior director of our program was actually my college basketball coach.
And small world. That's pretty nice.
Yeah. So she definitely knew me in a different role. I think I was a freshman when she was our coach. So definitely did a few sprints for her. But back to that networking and staying connected with people and giving of yourself when you can and asking for the right kind of help. I told her that I was open to some new opportunities, and a couple of weeks later she found a role, and that's kind of how I got started there.
And if someone, I read just a little blurb at the start of the episode, but how would you explain what Hiring Our Heroes is to someone who's listening?
Oh gosh. So there's a couple of ways that I'll talk about the program. So I think of it in three different lanes. So there's a transitioning service member lane that focuses on, and I think we'll touch on it later, but our corporate fellowship program. And then we have a lane that's for transitioning service members, veterans, and then military spouses. That would be our career summits. And then we have a lane that's completely dedicated to military spouses. So the career summits lane, that's a program that's been around. I think we've done about 1,100 summits, and we have an MOU with most installations where we're able to go right to the service member and bring companies on installation who have said, we're willing to hire veterans, transitioning service members, spouses, and just connect the two via a hiring fair. I think this year we've got about 30 summits, and those are both if you're serving in country or overseas. So there's a lot of opportunities to connect with the Hiring Our Heroes at those summits. And we have a pretty good job offer rate, and they're free for service members and for companies. So it's a really cool program that I would say if we can share the link to the the summit calendar, that would be a good place for people
Yep.
to start.
And for listeners, I'll add that in the show notes for this. That sounds like a fantastic way to go and see, you know, people who are specifically there looking to hire you. That's a nice way to narrow down the playing field for sure.
It is, yeah. I think they were just in Japan last week, the summit team, and they had over 1,000 service members attend, and just a great turnout. So it's I would highly recommend that program. And then the corporate fellowship program, that's another really amazing program that I wish I had heard about when I was getting out. But basically, a service member within their last 180 days of transitioning is can apply to this one of the career skills programs, and Hiring Our Heroes, that specific program is called the Corporate Fellowship Program. And basically, a company, a civilian company, would have to have an open requisition. So they have to have the ability to hire that transitioning service member. And if they do, they sign up for to host a fellow. And that fellow would go through a 12-week internship while they're still on active duty. And at the end of that, it's kind of like a test drive for both the company and the fellow, so they can decide if they want to, stay on with that company or try something else, or maybe that industry wasn't for them. So that's another program, and we can talk about that one a little bit more. And then we have the military spouse program at Hiring Our Heroes, which focuses on advocating, connecting, training the military spouse community, connecting them with different companies at the grassroots level to try to solve the military spouse employment issues that are out there.
That's great. So maybe we'll start with the corporate fellowship. So I'm assuming then, if someone's going to participate in that, I'm assuming that they need to be 1 year away from a potential separation point. Is that right? Like just because so that they could transition into that job?
Yeah, so that's another good question. We usually recommend starting that application process about 9 to 12 months from retirement or their ETS date.
And then what is that, what does the application look like? Or actually, let me just put it differently. So maybe someone listening, because I think that sounds, what you're describing sounds awesome. Like what a great way to, in a low risk way, test out a company, have them test out you, start to ramp that transition up by getting actual corporate experience. Like that sounds really ideal. If someone listening is interested, could you walk us through what the process looks like the application and kind of a little bit more about the program itself?
Oh, sorry, I was on mute as well. Sure. So there's a DoD instruction that kind of stipulates how the program works. It's, I think, DoD 1322.29. And if you want to fall asleep reading, maybe start there. But we also have, I'll send you a link that you can share as well to the listeners. But again, you'd want to start that application 9 to 12 months out. And the key for the program is that your command has to basically sign off and approve that you are eligible and they're willing to release you, because you will be working at a civilian company your last, for a 12-week period. So step one is getting that command to say yes. And then a service member will apply to that program through the there's local career skills programs. That's the Army's version. There's the Education Center for the Air Force, and your equivalent office for this specific branch. And so you would find out more at your local installation level, and then for CFP specifically, we have an online application that the prospective fellow would have to fill out. And then there's one other note. So we have at Hiring Our Heroes, we have about 12 locations. I think we're expanding to four more locations. So there's about 16 different places where a fellow can go and work at one of these companies. But if you, let's say you're in Hawaii and we don't have a CFP specific location there, but you want to work in Atlanta. Thanks to permissive TDY, service members can participate still in that career skills program anywhere in the U.S., provided, again, that you have approval from your chain of command. And so with that, I guess one note is the military doesn't cover any costs of permissive TDY, like lodging and getting yourself there. So that would be on the service member in that case, but it's still a really cool and unique way if you are stationed somewhere, but you don't necessarily want to work at that place that you're stationed. So there's a workaround there.
And so, wait, just so I understand this correctly, so during that year, I'm assuming they're working full time on active duty, and then in some ways, are they like getting time off to work at that company, or how are they being on active duty and working at this other company simultaneously?
Yeah, so it sounds too good to be true, right? That's why you need command approval. So during that 12-week fellowship, you are going every day to whatever your host company has you doing. You are going to that company. You are not wearing a uniform. You have been released to your place of duty is at that company for that 12-week fellowship.
Oh, 12-week. I misheard that as 12 months. Okay, 12-week makes sense then.
Oh, yep. Yeah, 12 months would be a harder sell for a command.
I was going to say, that's so generous. what sort of companies do that? Is there like a particular flavor or examples you can talk about?
Oh, God, I think we've got about 200 different host companies, and they range in across the board. We've got, I think Toyota just started an apprenticeship program. That's one that's off the top of my head. But like I said, 200 companies across 12 different locations. So think large size companies, small size companies, Amazon, Boeing, all these companies have had fellows like the larger scale companies. There's definitely smaller companies as well that are getting on board.
Awesome. And then the other piece that you talked about was for military spouses. And could you talk a little bit more about that? If someone is a military spouse and is listening, or their spouse, they want to tell about this, what does that look like and how can they get involved?
Sure. So for a military spouse, there's a couple of different and unique ways that I'd recommend getting involved. So one of the, back in, gosh, it was almost a year ago, we started something called a Military Spouse Economic Empowerment Zone. And the first one was in San Antonio, and now we've got about 10 or 11 locations with 8 more zones that will be designated at the city or state level throughout the country this year. And those zones are comprised of working groups with companies that are saying, hey, we are a military spouse friendly and ready to hire, and we are going to work together to find innovative solutions here at the grassroots level. So what makes sense in San Antonio or Colorado Springs or Tampa? And the companies are working to create those different ways that they can advocate, connect, hire those military spouses in those areas. And so if you're in one of those locations that has an MCs, that's an amazing opportunity, because you have this list of companies that are willing to connect with you and to help you in any way they can. And the other program that I'll highlight is the one that I touched on about volunteering before, was the Military Spouse Professional Network. So right now we've got about 50 networks, both CONUS and OCONUS, where a military spouse can join. They're housed on Facebook and LinkedIn right now, but they're run by volunteers. So an amazing group of military spouse volunteers will coordinate monthly meetings And at those meetings, you'll do either professional development or some sort of networking with a local employer or with that military spouse economic empowerment zone. So there's a lot of opportunities for that spouse if you are a career-minded, looking to either continue with your career or get back into your career if you've taken a few years off or you just finished school, whatever point you are at in your career progression, that network is there to help you. And it's really great if you are, if you know you're moving from, you know, Oklahoma City to San Diego, you can connect to that San Diego network and have kind of like a soft landing spot before you get there where you can build your network. Because we know as a spouse, unemployment is right now 4 times the national average, and it is hard to continually have to rebuild your network. And so the point of MSPN is to try to help you do that and to cut back on the time that it takes to find your next career. So that's another lane that we have that a spouse can connect with. And then we have a program called Amplify. So this year we've got 12 sessions of Amplify, and those are 2-day career intensives where if you are, again, a spouse who maybe is just entering the workforce, re-entering, or interested in entrepreneurial activities, you can go to an Amplify conference and we'll connect you with a mastermind match. So that's like a mentorship session based on whatever industry you want to work in. And then just you'll go through 2 days of intense career development, professional development that I think is it's a really unique program. So I would definitely say check that one out as well.
Awesome. And I'll add links to all of these. But I love that with Amplify. I'm just a big fan in general for professional development of these 2-day type of conferences or weekend conferences. I think there's so much value to being deeply immersed in a particular topic around people in a similar position. And it sounds like that's exactly what Amplify is. And then you couple that with that mastermind match of having someone to kind of mentor you during that period. I think that sounds like a really worthwhile thing for people to consider.
It really is. I think that's the mastermind match is what makes it a really unique program, because our program director spends a lot of time going through the cohorts applications and figuring out what is it that they want to do and what industry are they looking for. And she's got a database of her mentors that she can pull into and then, connect. I think that's another part of the job search that often goes overlooked, but having a mentor, somebody that you can just bounce ideas off of and figure out how they got to where they are is huge. So again, a cool program.
And could you explain a little bit more about your role? I talked about you're the deputy director military spouse program. What does that mean in terms of what you do on a day-to-day basis and the type of work that you do?
So at a nonprofit, we all wear a lot of hats. And so our program team, we have 6 people on it, and we execute over 40 or 50 events a year. So a lot of our role is that coordination, logistical planning of those events that we just mentioned, because we do have traditional events just for spouses. We have somebody that runs that program. We have our MZs, we have our MSPN, we have Amplify, and then we have another campaign that's called Hiring 100,000 Military Spouses. And so across all those lanes of business, my role is to really kind of help my boss make sure that we are driving those priorities and strategies and making sure that we're aligned with our program's offerings with the larger Hiring Our Heroes initiatives. And then with that, there's also kind of the day-to-day aspect of just managing the operations across those programs and then budgeting, of course. And as a nonprofit, obviously relationship building with all of our stakeholder groups. If that helps shed some light on what I do every day.
And another thing I wanted to ask about is that a lot of listeners have talked about a frustration point that they don't necessarily feel prepared for their military transition from SFL, TAP classes, and then oftentimes they don't even know a program designed to help them exists until they're well into their transition. I'm just curious, how is Hiring Our Heroes spreading awareness of your programs to transitioning service members?
I can say that I have felt that frustration as well. I think for me, I thought the Army did a decent job of their TAP process, but a lot of it was on the service member to go out there and research, because it's almost overwhelming how many resources are available, and you kind of have to find out what works for you and what you're looking for specifically, and do your own homework and kind of connect with those who've already transitioned and figure out how do you best do it for yourself. But Hiring Our Heroes specifically, for example, for the corporate fellowship program at those 12 locations where we have a corporate fellowship manager, they have very good relationships with the SFL TAP offices where, you know, sometimes they're providing every first and third Wednesday, they'll go in and do kind of that local grassroots campaign. A lot of it is word of mouth, where one fellow will tell the next group of, those transitioning behind him or her about the program. We do a lot of outreach on LinkedIn as well, and we try to utilize our partners, to help them spread the word about what they're doing and how they're supporting the Hiring Our Heroes events, whether that's the career summits or the military spouse program. So I guess another part of how we try to connect with service members, we called our summits transition summits up until this year, and now we're focusing on career summits. So the idea is that a service member who's maybe undecided will hear a career summit and be more willing to attend an event that's not necessarily just before their transition period. So we're hoping to catch them earlier in the process. And what's nice about that is if you are on the fence about staying in or getting out, going to those events early on, you can learn, okay, I really want to stay in the military for a career or for at least through my next reenlistment. And so connecting with the service member earlier in the process is something that we hope to do. And we're always trying to amplify and get the word out.
And I know that we've spent most of the time talking about Hiring Our Heroes, but could you share just a little bit more for listeners who are trying to figure out what they want to do? It seems like your career path right now is in the nonprofit sector. Could you kind of share about why you like this sort of career path, or why listeners may enjoy it, and just things to help them evaluate whether this sort of industry would be a right fit for them?
Sure, I can try. I guess I'll couch it by saying I've only been in the nonprofit world for about a year, but I love it. It is something that I am so much more passionate about than what I was doing in HR and in finance. It's just a better fit for me personally. I think a lot of people that I work with wanted to find something that they were passionate about. And it sounds cliche, but how they could help people or give back. And in the nonprofit world, that's kind of the overarching theme of what you're doing on a day-to-day basis. And it's something that you can hold on to on those days where, you're pulled in all sorts of directions because you are at a nonprofit, and maybe the staffing isn't where it was if you were in the Army or the Navy. So I would say if it's something that you're interested in, definitely go for it. Try it. It's an amazing world to be in. And like I said, I've only been in it for a year, but I knew doing human resources, I think part of my transition plan was to find a role where I wasn't just a supporting element. I wanted to try something where I was more engaged with the organization's mission. And I knew I wanted to eventually be in the nonprofit world. I just had to take a roundabout way and work in the finance industry for a few years until I found that role at the nonprofit that fit.
And I think for listeners, you may have heard me say this on other episodes in this industry, but I think that a lot of people who serve in the military, we get a lot of fulfillment out of being part of something bigger than ourselves and the aspect of our job that is helping others and having a positive impact on the world. And I think that's one reason to seriously consider nonprofits is that they generally are mission-driven. They are trying to have a positive impact on the world. It's kind of a team-oriented approach to it. So I think there's a lot that could appeal to you, just like it has for Anna. Are there any other resources that you would recommend to listeners that could be books or podcasts, blogs, conferences? I know we've already got two dozen different resources in the show notes now, but I just want to make space in case there's anything else you'd want to point listeners to.
Oh man, when you sent this to me ahead of time, I was like, they're going to think that I don't read or anything. I have been, I think you might've mentioned it, but going through, an executive MBA program, which the books that I would recommend at this point would be like operations and finance focused. So I'm not sure that I even want to finish reading those books. But let's see. I think the last book I read before starting the program was Grit, which I'm still about halfway through, but it's a really interesting. Have you heard of that one?
I think someone else mentioned it on the show, and I know it's gotten really good reviews, but I can't remember what it's about.
Yeah, it's just about this the idea that there's this one intrinsic quality that if you can't quite put your finger on it, why some people maybe succeed or persevere, and the idea that that person has grit. And so the book kind of examines that and why certain people might in different scenarios do better than others. So that has been an interesting read. Like I said, I'm not finished it yet, but so far so good. And then let's see, podcasts. I work remotely, and that has taken my commute time down. But when I do get to drive around, I enjoy listening to the JJ Redick podcast. He's a basketball player. So you mentioned just in your last comment about being a part of a team. And that's so true. That's one of the big reasons why I joined Higher Heroes, because it is a big team. And I still love basketball. So I really like that podcast.
That's awesome. And I'll have a link to Grit. And then it looks like JJ Redick's podcast is called The Ringer. I'll have a link to that as well. I also realized we skipped over, you chose to continue on in the reserves. And could you maybe lay out some pros and cons of what you found of continuing with the reserves, or how a listener might think about whether or not to continue with the reserves?
Okay, some pros and cons of the reserves. Sure. When I was transitioning, I, as I mentioned, didn't have a job lined up. It was taking a lot longer since it was a small town I was moving to. And so the reserves actually at first was just kind of a stopgap to make sure that I had at least something to do, something to fill my resume with before getting that first job after transitioning. You know, honestly, I wasn't married at the time. And so, keeping up TRICARE was another just a logistical nice to have for staying in the reserves. And at this point, I've been in the reserves for 6 years. So just it's been a really good decision for me. I've had some friends that have transitioned and did not enjoy it. But for me, throughout all these moves, it's been kind of the one constant and way that I'm able to continue to serve, just because I wasn't ready to fully give it up yet. So one of the cool things about the reserves for me, when I was applying to a job, they saw I happen to be, an executive assistant, I think is what they call it, or a general's aide in the reserves. And one of the hiring managers knew what that was and what it entailed, and that helped get my resume through the door. So there's definitely unique experiences that you can still have in the reserves. It is challenging because sometimes it feels like, man, I just had a reserve weekend and here it is again. But for me, it's been worthwhile, and the people that I have met, and just another way to continue to network. It's probably different for everyone, but for me, it's been a good decision.
Yeah, it seems like, I mean, that's a great articulation. It seems like what you're saying is part of it is maintaining some income and some insurance, which definitely plays a role and gives you more flexibility in taking time to find the right next job. And definitely that I would put it as kind of like preserving a portion of your identity where you're still in uniform, you still have that, rather than so many guests have talked about the culture shock of just going cold turkey from military to not military. And you talked about the networking, which is, I've heard from other guests on the show too, where you're serving on the weekend, and that's also a way to improve your network, and some job opportunities have come from that, and growth has come from that too. And then you also get to still scratch that itch of serving and giving back. I think those are all really worthwhile. Well, I always like to leave the last question a little bit open-ended, which is, we've covered a lot of ground today to help listeners. I'm just curious, is there anything we haven't covered that you want to talk about, or any parting thoughts you'd like to leave with listeners?
Well, I mean, this has been a totally cool experience for me. So thank you again for having me on and for letting me share just a little bit about my journey. I know everyone's story is unique, and but it's all unique and then similar at the same time. So I appreciate you letting me share what little I have to offer, and for being able to highlight what we're doing at Hiring Our Heroes. That's, as I said before, it's been such a great opportunity to work there, and the mission is so something I'm so passionate about. So being able to share that is really great. Parting words of wisdom, check out those links. And if there's anything that I can ever do for a military spouse or somebody who's transitioning, or you need a connection or have a question, I am available. I'm on LinkedIn, happy to share whatever connections that I might have. But yeah, I guess that's how I would leave it.
Awesome. And for listeners, this is one of the more resource-heavy interviews, so be sure to check out the show notes for this episode at beyondtheuniform.org. You'll find links to Hiring Our Heroes, which is hiringourheroes.org. You'll find links to the two dozen different things that Anna mentioned that are great resources to consider. So, Anna, thank you for sharing your story, but also thank you for the work that you're continuing to do to help out the military and military spouse community.
Thank you again for having me on and for this podcast. It's awesome. And
surface. Well, thank you so much for listening and for supporting Beyond the Uniform. Beyond the Uniform is produced and edited by me, Justin Asiri. Our staff is entirely part-time. They do this on nights and weekends out of the goodness of their hearts to give back to the military community. Our director of outreach is Steve Bain, who relentlessly books guests, finds sponsors, puts together our newsletter, and thousands of other critical tasks every single week, all behind the scenes to keep Beyond the Uniform running smoothly. Our editor is Kathleen Dillon, who listens to and transcribes every single episode to help out those who don't have the time to listen to the show. It has a major impact on our site's SEO value, which helps people find us through Google. Our data analytics and insights advisor is Andrew Woolridge, who pours over the data each and every month to help us better understand how to best serve the Beyond the Uniform audience. Our digital production work is done by Michael Cummings, who puts together custom artwork for every episode. If you're enjoying Beyond the Uniform, the best way to help us out is by telling your friends and fellow service members and veterans. iTunes reviews, believe it or not, have a big impact on getting the word out as well. So if you have a chance to leave a positive review, that is greatly appreciated. If you know of a business that would like to get their product or service in front of a military audience, we are always on the lookout for sponsors, which helps us subsidize the cost of putting this show together. And if you haven't yet signed up for our newsletter, you can do so at beyondtheuniform.io. We send out a newsletter twice a month, and it is a treasure trove of helpful information for your civilian career and transition. And be sure to check out our coaching program, where you can be connected with a subsidized professional, certified executive and career coach to help you in your career decision making. Thank you for listening, and I'll be back next week with more stories from military veterans about their civilian career. Take care.